Captain's log, stardate 3192.1. The Enterprise is en route to star cluster NGC 321. Objective, to open diplomatic relations with the civilizations known to be there. We have sent a message to Eminiar 7, principal planet of the star cluster, informing them of our friendly intentions. We are awaiting an answer.
Nothing yet, Lieutenant.
Nothing, Captain. Hailing frequencies are open.
A yeoman comes up to Kirk with a report pad. As he signs it, a sandy-haired man in his 40s steps onto the bridge.
Have you received an answer to your message yet, Captain?
Nothing yet, Ambassador. We're awaiting a reply. Today is the first time we've had any evidence that they've picked up our signal.
Captain, message coming in from E-Mini-R7. Sir, it's code 710.
Are you sure?
Positive. It repeats over and over again.
Is that supposed to mean something?
Code 710 means under no circumstances are we to approach that planet. No circumstances whatsoever.
You will disregard that signal, Captain.
Mr. Fox, it is their planet.
Captain, in the past 20 years, thousands of lives have been lost on this quadrant. Lives that could have been saved if the Federation had a treaty port here. We mean to have that port, and I'm here to get it.
By disregarding code 710, you might well involve us in an interplanetary war.
I'm quite prepared to take that risk.
You are? I'm thinking about this ship. My crew.
I have my orders, Captain, and now you have yours. You will proceed on course. Achieve orbit status and just leave the rest to me. You are well aware that my mission gives me the power of command. I now exercise it. You will proceed on course. That's a direct order.
The bridge crew stare as the ambassador goes. Spock comes over to the captain's chair and gives Kirk a dry look.
In view of code 710, Captain, may
yes,
I suggest...
Yes, Mr. Spock. This is the captain. Condition yellow alert. Phaser crews stand by. Deflector shields up. We're going in, gentlemen. Peacefully, I hope, but peacefully or not, we're going in. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. A Taste of Armageddon.
Captain's log, stardate 3192.5. Now in standard orbit around planet Eminiar 7, my orders are clear. We must establish diplomatic relations at all cost. Preparing to beam down to planet surface.
We know very little about them. Their civilization is advanced. They've had spaceflight for several centuries, but they've never ventured beyond their own solar system. When first contacted more than 50 years ago, Eminiar 7 was at war with its nearest neighbor.
Anything else?
The Earth expedition making the report failed to return from its mission. The USS Valiant.
Ambassador Fox arrives.
Listed as missing in space.
Kirk, what's this about you going down alone?
Not alone, Mr. Ambassador. I'm taking some security people with me.
It is my prerogative.
I can't risk beaming you down there until I know what kind of reception you're going to receive. Your safety is my responsibility. Those are my orders, sir.
Mr. Spock?
Transporter room standing by, Captain.
What coordinates?
We've selected a site which, from the traffic, would seem to be near an official establishment.
Final sensor readings?
No hostility directed toward us. No apparent notice taken of us at all, which seems strange. They did scan us when we assumed orbit. Obviously, they know we're here.
Ship's defenses?
Screens down. But all defensive details on general alert status, Captain.
Good. Landing party will pick up phaser number ones from the arsenal. Keep them inconspicuous. Mr. Scott?
Yes, sir.
The ship is yours. Take care of her until I come back.
Aye, aye, sir. And have a bonny trip.
We'll do our best. Let's go.
Kirk, Spock, Yeoman Tamura, and guards Galloway and Osborne step into the lift. Fox scowls. Scotty, in charge, eyes the ambassador with a shrewd, uncompromising gaze. On the planet's surface, a statuesque young woman in a draped blue and black tunic points a sensor out into a courtyard surrounded by futuristic buildings.
They will materialize there. Remember your instructions. They are to be treated correctly, nothing more.
The five strong party materialize. The blonde-haired Eminian woman approaches them. She's attended by two guards in black uniforms with a sash and trouser leg of a different color. On their heads, they wear tall hats that cover their ears. Kirk looks at the graceful blue-eyed woman with undisguised approval.
I'm Captain James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise, representing the United Federation of Planets.
I know. I'm Mayor 3. I congratulate you on your instrumentation. You've come directly to the Division of Control. If you'll follow me, please.
They follow her into a building of lozenge-shaped corridors and archways.
Captain, I wish...
Yes?
You were warned not to come here.
I had orders to come here. Why did your people tell us to stay away?
It was for your own safety, Captain.
I see no danger here.
The danger exists. Nevertheless, you are here. It would be morally incorrect to do less than extend our hospitality. Anon Seven and members of the High Council await you. If you will come this way, please.
They arrive at a set of double doors, which two guards standing outside open. Mia invites them to enter. At the head of the room, five men sit on a low dais around a curved table. Kirk and the landing party approach. The bearded man at the center of the dais stands up.
I'm Captain Kirk. This is my first officer, Mr. Spock. Lieutenants Galway, Osborne, Yeoman Tamora.
Welcome to Eminia 7.
Anon 7 resumes his seat.
Well, Captain, what can we do for you?
My mission is to establish diplomatic relations between your people and mine.
That is impossible.
Would you mind telling me why?
Because of the war.
You're still at war?
We have been at war for 500 years.
You conceal it very well, Mr. Spock.
Sir, we have completely scanned your planet. We find it highly advanced, prosperous in a material sense, comfortable for your people, and peaceful in the extreme. Yet you say you are at war. There is no evidence of this.
Casualties among our civilian population total from 1 to 3 million dead each year from direct enemy attack. That is one reason, Captain, why we told you to stay away. As long as your ship is orbiting our planet, it is in severe danger.
With whom are you at war?
The third planet in our system, called Vendikar. Originally settled by our people and now a ruthless enemy. Highly advanced technologically.
A door to an operations center slides open.
Please, excuse me. Vendikar is attacking.
Mayor, here for our guests.
The councillors around the table step into the room.
Strange.
To say the least.
It will not last long.
Don't you take shelter?
There is no shelter, Captain.
Are these attacks frequent?
Oh, yes. And we will retaliate immediately.
On a large war map, a pool of white light blossoms and fades.
What is it?
A hit, right here in the city.
Mystified, Kirk turns to his science officer.
Do you hear any explosions, Mr. Spock?
None, Captain. Yeoman Tamora.
Sir?
Tricorder readings. Radiation disturbances of any kind.
Tamora takes a scan.
Working, sir. No evidence.
Kirk turns back to Mayor.
Mayor, if this is an attack, may I ask what weapons the enemy is using?
Fusion bombs, materialized by the enemy over their targets.
Kirk to Bridge. Scotty?
Scotty here, Captain.
Scanners operative on the planet's surface?
Of course, sir. As per orders.
Anything unusual?
Nothing, sir. All quiet.
Kirk glances at Spock again.
Thank you, Kirk out.
Look, Anon.
Yes, I see it. They were warned.
Just as it happened 50 years ago.
Alert a security detachment. They may be needed.
The counselor hurries away. Anon steps through from the operations room and comes up to Kirk.
It's a vicious attack. Extremely destructive.
Fortunately, our defenses are firming, but our casualties are high. Very high.
Sir, I have been in contact with my ship, which has had this entire planet under surveillance. All during this so-called attack of yours, we have been monitoring you. There's been no attack, no explosions, no radiations, no disturbances whatsoever. If this is some sort of game you're playing...
This is no game, Captain. 500,000 people have just been killed. Activate the attack unit, sir.
Yes, Councilman.
Launch immediate counterattack.
Computers, Captain. They fight their war with computers, totally.
Yes, of course.
Anon turns back to Kirk and Spock.
Computers don't kill 500,000 people.
Deaths have been registered. Of course, they have 24 hours to report.
To report?
To our disintegration machines. You must understand, Captain, we have been at war for 500 years. Under ordinary conditions, no civilization could withstand that. But we have reached a solution.
Then the attack by Vendikar was theoretical.
Oh, no. Quite real. An attack is mathematically launched. I lost my wife in the last attack. Our civilization lives. The people die, but our culture goes on.
Kirk looks at Anon, caught between disbelief and horror.
You mean to tell me your people just walk into a disintegration machine when they're told to?
We have a high consciousness of duty, Captain.
There is a certain scientific logic about it.
I'm glad you approve.
I do not approve. I understand.
Good. Then you will recall, I warned you not to come here. You chose to ignore my warning. I'm sorry, but it's happened.
What has happened?
Once your ship was in orbit about our planet, it became a legitimate target. It has been classified destroyed by a tri-cobalt satellite explosion.
He nods to two armed guards who step closer.
All persons aboard your ship have 24 hours to report to our disintegration machines. In order to ensure their cooperation, I have ordered you, Captain, and your party held in custody until they surrender.
More armed guards enter. Kirk reaches for his phaser, but the guards intervene.
If possible, we shall spare your ship, Captain, but its passengers and crew are already dead.
The guards seize Kirk.
Captain's log. Delayed. The Enterprise, in orbit about MENR 7, has been declared a casualty of an incredible war fought by computers. I and my landing party, though apparently not included as casualties aboard the Enterprise, are confined on the planet's surface, awaiting what?
Mayor comes into the room where they're held.
I've been sent to ask if you require anything.
We require a great deal. I wish to speak to Anon 7.
He's busy coordinating casualty lists.
He'll have more casualty lists than he knows what to do with if he doesn't get in here and talk to me.
Don't you understand? Our duty now...
Your duty doesn't include stepping into a disintegrator and disappearing.
I'm afraid mine does, Captain. I, too, have been declared a casualty. I must report to a disintegrator by noon tomorrow.
Is that all it means to you? To report and die?
My life is as dear to me as yours is to you, Captain.
But how can you stand...
Don't you see? If I refuse to report, and others refuse, then Vendikar would have no choice but to launch real weapons. We would have to do the same to defend ourselves. More than people would die then. A whole civilization would be destroyed. Surely you can see that ours is the better way.
No. I don't see that at all.
It's been our way for almost 500 years.
She turns away and goes back to the armed guard by the door.
Is there anything I can bring you?
Yes. Anon 7.
Maya lowers her eyes and goes. The guard plucks the key, a small magnetic disc, from the door. He leaves and the door closes. Back on the bridge of the Enterprise...
I tell you, we should have heard something by now.
Aye, Doctor, that we should. But we haven't, and we can't erase them.
You know, if there had been trouble, they should have at least managed to get word back to us.
Well, we can't just sit here.
What would you suggest?
Me? I'm a doctor. If I were an officer of the line, I...
Would you have me open fire?
Of course not.
Mr. Scott, message coming in from the captain.
Scott here, Captain.
Good news, Mr. Scott. The Armenians have agreed to the establishment of full normal diplomatic relations.
Mr. Fox would be glad to hear about that.
They've also extended an invitation to all personnel to come ashore for shore leave. They've assured me that our people will have a wonderful time.
Captain?
Yes, Mr. Scott.
All personnel?
All personnel. We'll transport up trained Armenians to assume support positions.
It's Anand.
Those are my orders, Mr. Scott.
Aye, aye, Captain. We'll start forming shore parties immediately. Scott out. Well, now, what do you think of that?
I don't know.
Well, I do.
Scotty goes to the science computer.
Computer, last message received and recorded from Captain Kirk.
In place.
Run it through analyzer. Question, is it or is it not the captain's voice?
Negative. A close copy.
A voice duplicator?
98% probability.
He turns to McCoy.
Well, they've got them, Doctor. And now they're trying to get us.
Are you sure you can do it, Mr. Spock?
Limited telepathic abilities are inherent in Vulcanians, Captain. It may work. It may not.
Do your best.
Spock goes up to the door, rubbing his hands gently. Outside, an armed guard stands on duty. Spock places the fingers of one hand lightly on the door and moves them slowly over its surface, concentrating intently. Kirk watches. Nothing seems to happen. Spock's fingers continue across the door and then onto the wall. Outside the room, the guard, who's standing exactly the other side of the wall from Spock's fingers, blinks his eyes and shakes his head. Spock places both hands on the wall. The guard's eyes become fixed in a hypnotic stare. He moves slowly to the door, raises his gun, takes out his key disc, and places it on the door. Kirk and Spock hide either side of the doorway. Kirk, Spock, Galloway, and Osborne knock him out and grab his gun.
Thank you, Mr. Spock.
My pleasure, Captain.
What do we do now, Captain?
We get our communicators back and try and contact the ship. Mr. Spock, we'll need more weapons.
I understand.
We'll try to take it easy, but if we're forced to kill...
Spock nods. Kirk places the key disc on the door. Kirk, gun in hand, steps out into the corridor followed by Spock, Tamura, Osborne, and Galloway. They duck out of sight as a guard passes by. Kirk waits till the guard is out of sight, then leads his party away in the opposite direction. They turn a corner and see, at the end of a corridor, a light flashing above a chamber. Two guards usher an Armenian inside. The door closes, and the operator presses a button on a panel. When the door opens, the chamber is empty. One of the guards himself steps inside, and the procedure is repeated.
An entrance, Captain. But no exit. They go in, but they do not come out.
A disintegration machine.
So I would assume.
As they move down the corridor towards the disintegrator, Mia comes down another passageway.
Mia.
Oh.
What do you think you're doing?
I'm going...
You're not going in there.
Well, I must.
No, you're not.
Please. It's all right. Don't worry about me.
Mr. Spock, that guard.
Spock nods.
I'll cover you.
Kirk grips Mia by the arm as Spock moves down the corridor to the disintegration chamber, where several people are waiting. He goes up to the guard.
Sir, there's a multi-legged creature crawling on your shoulder.
As the guard looks at his shoulder, Spock disables him with a Vulcan nerve pinch and takes his weapon, Spock backs away down the corridor towards Kirk. The operator and the people waiting to go into the chamber stare. Kirk raises the weapon he took from the guard.
All right, you people, clear out of the way.
Mayer is horrified as Kirk fires at the chamber.
Oh, what are you doing?
Throwing a monkey wrench into the machinery.
You can't do this.
I've done it, man. Come on, let's get out of here.
The Federation prisoners have attacked their guard and escaped. They are armed. Disintegration station number 12 destroyed, Councilman, apparently by disruptor fire.
All security personnel. Federation prisoners have escaped. They are to be found. They are armed. If they resist, do what is necessary. Planetary disruptor banks. Calculate orbit of star cruiser now circling. Stand by to fire full power.
Councilman, planetary disruptor banks locked onto target. Standing by.
In 10 seconds, open fire. Destroy the star cruiser. Those are the orders of the Council.
Ship's log, stardate 3193.0. Chief Engineer Scott recording. The captain and first officer are overdue and missing on the surface of Eminia 7. I have taken standard precautionary measures while we continue our attempts to locate them.
All stations reporting. Deflector screens rigged at full power. Environmental phaser crews ready. Sensors reading zero. Correction, Mr. Scott.
Yes, Mr. DePaul.
Sensor readings just shot off the scale.
As Scotty and McCoy hurry over to the con, the lights dim and the whole ship shudders.
Well, now, they're taking pot shots at us. Holding, Mr. DePaul.
Screen's firm, sir. Extremely powerful sonic vibrations. Decibels, 18 to the 12th power. If those screens weren't up, we'd be totally disrupted by now.
Well, I guess that answers our questions, Mr. Scott. They're not very friendly, are they?
But what about our captain and the landing party down there somewhere?
We get them out.
If they're alive, and if we can find them. That's a big planet.
Not too big for the Enterprise to handle if it has to.
We can't fire full phasers with our screens up, and we can't lower our screens with their disruptors on us. Of course, I could treat them to a few dozen photon torpedoes.
You would do no such thing, Mr. Scott.
Mr. Fox, we're under attack. They're trying to knock us down.
You have taken defensive measures.
Of course, but...
But there are no buts. Obviously, it's a misunderstanding, and one of my jobs is to clear up misunderstandings.
They're holding our captain.
We have no proof of that.
I'm responsible for the safety of this ship.
And I'm responsible for the success of this mission. And that's more important than this ship, is that clear? We came here to establish diplomatic relations with these people.
But they're the ones who are looking for a fight, Mr. Fox.
This is a diplomatic matter. If you check your regulations, you'll find that my orders get priority. I'll try to make contact with the planetary officials. Lieutenant, open up a channel and keep it open. Tell them to expect a priority one message from me. There will be no punitive measures, gentlemen. Those are my orders.
Ambassador Fox leaves the bridge.
Diplomats. The best diplomat I know is a fully activated phaser bank.
Kirk's party return with Mia to their room.
Why did we come back here, Captain?
The last place they'll look for us is the place we escaped from. Cover the door.
Captain, you have got to let me go. My time is almost up.
Are you that anxious to die?
You don't understand.
Mr. Spock, how did that little raid work out?
We captured 4 of their disruptor-type weapons, 2 complete outfits of male clothing, and perhaps most important of all, 1 of their communication devices.
Will it reach the ship?
Not at this time. Its range is restricted in comparison with ours. I may be able to alter its components, but it will take time.
Get to work on it. We've got to contact the ship. Mayor, I want you to give me a complete layout of this building complex. How do I get to the war room?
No!
Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you. To save your life. The lives of millions like you. If you help me, maybe I can do it. If you don't, you'll die. We'll die. And the killing will go on. Or are you that fond of the war?
What are you going to do?
We're going to try and stop the killing. We're trying to help. Believe me.
Her expression wavers.
I believe you. But
Tell me what I want to know. Please.
In the High Council chamber.
Time is running out. We have been unable to destroy the Earthship. One of our disintegration chambers has been eliminated, and we have already fallen far behind in our quota. This is a grave crisis, and I am at a loss to know how to proceed.
The central channel, Anon. The Earth ambassador is calling with an urgent message.
What is the greater morality? Open honesty or a deception which may save our lives?
He looks at the other council members.
Put me through to the Earth ambassador.
A channel is open, Mr. Ambassador. You will be speaking to Anon 7, head of the High Council of the Armenian Union.
Mr. Anon, this is Robert Fox,
Special Ambassador for the United Federation of Planets.
A great honor, Mr. Ambassador.
We have approached you openly with the intent of establishing formal and friendly relations between our peoples. But now, for some reason, you have attacked us. And apparently, you're holding several special representatives of our Federation.
A mistake, Mr. Ambassador. We are at war.
An error in our sensors indicated that your ship was about to attack us.
I am giving orders that our attack be stopped.
Now, as to your representatives, you have my sacred word as an Armenian, that they are alive and well.
Thank you. I thought perhaps it was all a mistake.
Mr. Scott, disruptor beams are no longer hitting us.
Maintain status, Mr. DePaul.
We are most anxious to establish relations with you, Mr. Fox.
We will make arrangements to receive you. The minute their screens are down, open fire.
Yes, Councilman.
I apologize deeply for the misunderstanding. These are trying times for us, you understand.
I understand. Mr. Anon, I presume that you will have our ship's captain on hand when I beam down.
He will be there, sir.
I give you my word.
I'm sure that from this day forward, your planet and our Federation will attain the deepest friendship. I look forward to seeing you.
Uhura closes the channel.
Diplomacy, gentlemen, should be a job left to diplomats. You will, of course, immediately resume peaceful status.
No, sir. I will not.
What did you say?
I'll not lower the screens, not until the captain tells me to.
You are taking orders from me. You will lower the screens as a sign of good faith. My authority.
I know about your authority, but the screens stay up.
Mr. Fox, they've faked a message from the captain. They've launched an attack against our ship. Now, you want us to trust them openly?
I want you and expect you to obey my lawful orders.
No, sir. I won't lower the screens.
Your refusal to comply with my orders has endangered the entire success of this mission. I can have you sent to a penal colony for this.
That you can, sir. But I won't lower the screens.
Your name will figure prominently in my report to the Federation Central.
Scotty stands defiantly, hands on hips. The ambassador leaves. Scotty steps down into the well and McCoy comes over to him.
Well, Scotty, now you've done it.
Aye, the haggis is in the fire for sure. But I'll not lower my defenses on the word of that mealy-mouthed gentleman down below. Not until I know what happened to the captain.
In his private rooms, Anan Seven pours himself a drink. Kirk steps into the room behind him, disruptor in hand. Anan stiffens, sensing his presence.
Won't you join me in a drink, Captain? You'll find our trover most interesting.
I didn't come to drink.
I assume that is what you used to destroy disintegration chamber number 12.
A very efficient weapon. I'm not afraid of using it.
My first impression was correct.
He sips his drink.
You are a barbarian. I am. Don't sound so incredulous, Captain. Of course you are. We all are. A killer first, a builder second. A hunter, a warrior, and let's be honest, a murderer. That is our joint heritage, is it not?
We're a little less cold-blooded about it than you are.
What do you want, Captain?
I want to contact my ship.
He points the gun at Anon.
Where are my communicators?
In a safe place.
You take a lot of chances, Councilman.
You're worried about your ship, Captain. I'm trying to save a world.
If I were you, I'd think about saving my life.
Won't you have a drink, Captain?
The two men lock eyes. Kirk takes his arm away from Anand's throat, picks up the decanter, and pours two drinks. Both men pick up their glasses. Kirk wanders through the room. Anand stealthily presses a button on the side of the cabinet he's standing by.
And then we can discuss our differences. I'm not interested in discussing our differences. You don't seem to realize the risk you're taking. We don't make war with computers and herd the casualties into suicide stations. We make the real thing, Council. I could destroy this planet.
Why do you think I don't let you talk to your ship?
I don't need the ship for that.
You mean all by yourself, with a disruptor, you can destroy this planet?
That's exactly what I mean.
I had no idea you were so formidable.
You seem to think I'm joking. Where are the communicators?
Again, Kirk puts the disruptor gun to Anand's chest. Anand disdainfully turns away.
If I told you, Captain, would you walk right out and get them?
Something like that.
Very well, Captain. They're in the war room. Go left, down the corridor, left again. They are unguarded.
Kirk goes to the door, stops, and beckons Anand over. As the door opens, he pushes the counselor into the corridor ahead of him, straight into a guard standing outside with a gun. Kirk disarms the guard. A second guard arrives. Kirk fights both of them. He's overpowered and clubbed to the floor. Anand looks down at him.
Is he alive?
The two guards drag the Enterprise captain to his knees. Anand lifts up Kirk's chin.
Did he? A man like that would have preferred to die fighting. Take him to the council.
The guards drag Kirk away. Ambassador Fox and his attaché, a tall, thin, ascetic-looking man in a grey outfit that's a distant descendant of a frock coat, beam down to the surface of Eminyar 7. The ambassador carries a red leather folder. They are met by Anand and Councillor Saar. The ambassador bows.
Ambassador Fox?
I am Robert Fox. Have I the honour of addressing Anand 7?
Welcome to Eminyar, Mr. Ambassador.
Anand leads them inside. Outside the council chamber, he stops. Two guards come up behind the four men.
Mr. Ambassador, I am truly sorry for what must happen.
I beg your pardon?
You and your party have been declared war casualties. You will be taken immediately to one of our casualty stations so that your deaths may be recorded.
Saar takes Fox's folder.
You mean we are to be killed?
That is correct, Mr. Ambassador. I regret it very much, but there is nothing I can do about it.
The guards lead them away. In another room, Spock is working on the Eminian communicator.
Spock to Enterprise, come in.
Mr. Scott, it's Mr. Spock.
Scotty here, Mr. Spock. Go ahead.
Is the ship all right?
We've been through a bit, but we're all right now. How about the captain and you?
The captain is overdue. We've suffered no casualties among us. This is important. Under no circumstances shall anyone beam down from the Enterprise. They'd be killed the moment they arrived.
That ties it. That Popinjay Fox went down a couple of minutes ago.
The Ambassador.
I knew it had a rotten ring to it.
Orbit out to maximum phaser range and stand by for further orders. Spock out.
He goes to the door with Osborne and Galloway, who are now dressed as Eminian guards.
What are you going to do, Mr. Spock?
On the Ambassador and the Captain. Yeoman Tamura, you stay here and prevent this young lady from immolating herself. Knock her down and sit on her if necessary. This is a killing situation. Do what you must to protect yourself. Clear?
Yes, sir.
He goes. Tamura stands, hands on hips, her disruptor gun ready. Mia turns scornfully away. Ambassador Fox and the attaché are being led to a disruptor chamber. Spock is marched up by Osborne and Galloway, disguised as Amenian guards.
What are you doing? I'm a representative of the United Federation of Planets, a special representative.
Get in line.
Spock and the Enterprise crewmen disarm the Amenian guards.
Spock. Please, Mr. Fox. Ladies and gentlemen, please move quickly away from the chamber or you may be injured.
The Amenians run as Spock backs away from the chamber.
What are you doing, Mr. Spock?
Practicing a peculiar variety of diplomacy, sir.
The disintegration chamber explodes.
I'll take you to a place of comparative safety. Then I must find the captain.
They have him. The guards told us. They took him to the council room under heavy guard.
By now, Mr. Ambassador, I'm sure you realize that normal diplomatic procedures are ineffective here.
I've never been a soldier, Mr. Spock, but I learn very quickly.
Very well, sir. We need all the help we can get.
As Spock moves off with the ambassador, his attaché, and the two disguised Enterprise crewmen, Kirk sits before the High Council.
Captain, surely you can see the position we are in. If your people do not report to our disintegration chambers, it is a violation of an agreement that dates back 500 years.
My people are not responsible for your agreements.
You will be responsible for an escalation that will destroy everything. Millions of people horribly killed. Complete destruction of our culture here, yes, and the culture on Vendicar. Disaster, disease, starvation, horrible, lingering death, pain and anguish.
That seems to frighten you.
It would frighten any sane man.
Yes, you're quite right.
Don't you understand, Captain? We have done away with all that. Now you are threatening to bring it down on us again. Are those 500 people of yours more important than the hundreds of millions of innocent people on Amenyar and Vendicar? What kind of monster are you?
I'm a barbarian. You said it yourself.
I had hoped I had spoken only figuratively.
Oh, no, you were quite accurate. I plan to prove it to you.
Anand goes to the console at the large curved desk.
Open a channel to the Enterprise.
He turns back to Kirk.
You give me no choice, Captain. We are not bandits, but you force us to act as bandits.
This is the USS Enterprise.
Scotty! General Order 24, 2 hours! In 2 hours!
Two guards pull Kirk back into his chair.
Enterprise, this is Anand Seven, first councilman of the High Council of Amenyar.
We hold your captain, his party, your ambassador, and his party prisoners.
Unless you immediately start transportation of all personnel aboard your ship to the surface, the hostages will be killed. You have 30 minutes.
He turns to Kirk, who gets to his feet and faces Anand defiantly.
I mean it, Captain.
All that it means is that I won't be around for the destruction. You heard me give General Order 24. That means in 2 hours, the Enterprise will destroy Amenyar 7.
Planetary defense system, open fire on the Enterprise.
I'm sorry, Councilman. The target has moved out of range.
Anand looks at Kirk.
You wouldn't do this. Hundreds of millions of people.
I didn't start it, Councilman. But I'm liable to finish it.
In the corridor, Spock and his party are confronted by two Amenian guards. They open fire and kill them. But Ambassador Fox's attaché is also killed in the crossfire. Fox, armed with a disruptor, reluctantly leaves the body where it is and follows Spock.
Councilman, received a message from Vendicar. Our time is nearly up. Our quota is short by several thousand. They accuse us of reneging on the treaty.
You see, it started. You're wrong. It hasn't begun.
Councilman, Disintegrator Station 11 has been destroyed. Guard positions in Tunnels 8 and 10 failed to answer. Earth Party reported scene in Corridor 4A.
You have less than 2 hours, Councilman.
What I want or don't want has nothing to do with it. Escalation is automatic. You can stop it!
Stop it? I'm counting on it.
On board the USS Enterprise.
Open a channel, Lieutenant. This is the commander of the USS Enterprise.
All cities and installations on Eminiar 7 have been located, identified, and fed into our fire control system. In 1 hour and 45 minutes,
the entire inhabited surface of your planet will be destroyed.
You have that long to surrender your hostages.
What can I do? Somebody, please tell me.
He bows his head. The guard goes to help him. Kirk trips and disarms the guard before the other guards can react.
Hold it! Over there. You, over there. Move, move, move.
He ushers the counselors to one end of the room.
Now we'll talk.
Spock bursts in. He raises his eyebrows in surprise.
I had assumed you needed help. I see I'm in error.
No, I need the help. In there, Mr. Spock.
Kirk goes behind the council desk and opens the door to the operations center. Spock goes through to the room full of maps, screens, and computers.
Kirk to Enterprise. Come in, Scotty.
Aye, Captain. Are you all right?
Everything's secure here. Maintain position. If everything goes according to plan, you can beam us up in 10 minutes. If you don't hear from us, carry out General Order 24 on schedule.
Aye, aye, Captain. Is there anything else we can do?
Cross your fingers. Kirk out.
He looks up at Anan.
Death, destruction, disease, horror. That's what war is all about, Anan. That's what makes it a thing to be avoided. You've made it neat and painless. So neat and painless, you've had no reason to stop it. And you've had it for 500 years. Since it seems to be the only way I can save my crew and my ship, I'm going to end it for you, one way or another. Mr. Ambassador.
Yes, Captain.
Would you mind taking these people out into the corridor and holding them there? Gentlemen, if you please. You. Come with me. Mr. Osborne?
Osborne pushes Saar through into the operations room.
Our communicators, weapons.
Reluctantly, Councillor Saar shows them where the communicators and weapons have been concealed. Osborne hands a communicator to Kirk.
All right, Mr. Spock.
These are the attack computers, Captain. That one's defense, that one computes the casualties. They're all tied in with a subspace transmission unit, which keeps them in constant contact with their Vendican counterparts.
Yes, go on.
The moment contact is broken, it abrogates the agreement between the two warring parties.
What are you going to do?
This one's the key. The circuit is now locked. Destroy this one, and they'll all go.
Good. Get them out of here.
No, wait a minute. Please, please!
Osborne pushes Saar out.
Let's go.
Against the wall.
Everyone takes cover as the computers in the operations room blow. Smoke gushes into the corridor. Anan comes up to Kirk, furious and appalled.
You realize what you have done?
Yes, I do. I've given you back the horrors of war. The Vendicans will now assume that you've broken your agreement and that you're preparing to wage real war with real weapons. They'll want to do the same. Only the next attack they launch will do a lot more than just count up numbers on a computer. They'll destroy your cities, devastate your planet. You, of course, will want to retaliate. If I were you, I'd start making bombs. Yes, Councilman, you have a real war on your hands. You can either wage it with real weapons, or you might consider an alternative. Put an end to it. Make peace.
There can be no peace. Don't you see? We've admitted it to ourselves. We're a killer species. It's instinctive. It's the same with you. You're General Order 24.
All right. It's instinctive. The instinct can be fought. We're human beings with the blood of a million savage years on our hands. But we can stop it. We can admit that we're killers, but we're not going to kill today. That's all it takes. Knowing that we're not going to kill today. Contact Vendicar. I think you'll find that they're just as terrified, appalled, horrified as you are. That they'll do anything
to avoid the alternative I've given you, peace or utter destruction. It's up to you.
As a third party interested only in peace and the establishment of normal relations, I should be glad to offer my services as negotiator between you and Vendikar. I've had some small experiences in such matters.
There may be a chance. We have a direct channel with Vendikar's High Council. It hasn't been used in centuries.
And it's long overdue. Shall we go?
Anan indicates the way, and he and Fox leave together. Spock and Kirk watch them go.
There's a chance it may work, Captain.
Kirk to Enterprise. Scotty?
Scott here, Captain.
Cancel implementation of General Order 24. Alert transporter room. We're ready to beam up.
Later, Kirk is back on the bridge and in command.
Laying a course for our Gondo 2 navigator. Mr. Scott.
Space detail set, Captain.
Message from E-Mini-R7, Captain. Ambassador Fox reports negotiations are underway with Vendikar. Outlook hopeful.
Good.
Captain. You took a big chance.
Did I, Mr. Spock? They had been killing 3 million people a year. It had been going on for 500 years. An actual attack wouldn't have killed any more people than one of their computer attacks, but it would have ended their ability to make war. The fighting would have been over. Permanently.
But you didn't know that it would work.
No. It was a calculated risk. Still, the Eminians keep a very orderly society. And actual war is a very messy business. Very, very messy business. I had a feeling that they would do anything to avoid it, even talk peace.
A feeling is not much to go on.
Sometimes a feeling, Mr. Spock, is all we humans have to go on.
Captain, you almost make me believe in luck.
Why, Mr. Spock? You almost make me believe in miracles.
Spock considers this, and his eyebrows rise fractionally. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.